the Lord. All right, Isaiah tonight, and we're going to start with the 13th chapter. This chapter begins a new division in the book of Isaiah. It's a prophecy against the Gentile nations. And those of you who have Brother Copley's outline, thank you, Brother Copley's outline on in the little study guide, he notes these, but we're going to cover them just quickly, just so you can see what countries are included. This division is from chapters 13 through chapters 23. And in the 13th chapter and the 14th chapter, we have Babylon. God speaks about the destruction of Babylon, and this includes religious Babylon as well as political Babylon. And we're going to see the two different Babylons as we study tonight. And then in chapters 15 and 16, we have the burden of Moab, the word burden, and we'll get into that in a little bit. It's an oracle, one of the meanings. And then in chapter 17, we have the burden of Damascus. This is, as we all are familiar with Damascus, when we think of Acts 9, where Paul was struck down on the road to Damascus. In chapter 18, we have the land beyond Ethiopia. And you know, it's interesting to me today as we listen to the news to hear these nations come to the front in the news. It's interesting. In chapter 19, we have the burden of Egypt. And then in chapter 20, we have Assyria, Egypt, and Ethiopia, three of them there. And then in chapter 21, we have the desert, and we have Dama and Arabia, three of them again. Chapter 22 is Jerusalem, and chapter 23 is Tyre, the burden of Tyre. Now these are all Gentile nations that at one time or other that God used to discipline and to judge Israel. But now God is going to judge them. And in the book of Jeremiah, we don't have to turn there, but in Jeremiah chapters 46 to 51, and also in Ezekiel 25 to 32, we have these oracles mentioned, and they're all grouped together in those books like they are in this book of Isaiah. God, right, the Holy Spirit wrote this, didn't he? And as we said there, all of them, as well as Jeremiah and Ezekiel, they're all concerning the judgment of these nations that were used by God to chastise Israel because of her disobedience to him. And God has placed them in the order that they were used by God. What was the first Gentile nation that took over after when Israel was led into captivity? Who came and carried away the captives the first time? Babylon. Remember the golden Daniel, the image? That was the beginning of Gentile times. And he was the first Gentile world ruler, Nebuchadnezzar was. So that the book of Daniel tells us that. Those of you who have Scofield Bibles, right before the book of Isaiah, there's a little section, I forget what page it was on, but it's a chronological order of the prophets. It gives the prophets before the exile, before they were carried into captivity. Jonah was that prophet, and then there was the prophets to the ten tribes, and that was Amos, Hosea, Obadiah, and Joel. And then to Judah, it was Isaiah, he was the first one, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, and Jeremiah. And then during the exile, there was Ezekiel and Daniel. Ezekiel was by the river Chebar. Daniel was already carried over into captivity. Then after they returned, after the 70 years captivity, there was Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi. And I thought that was an interesting and necessary little thing to bring out tonight. All right, these prophecies that we have in these chapters were written by the Holy Ghost. God used Isaiah as the hand that wrote them, And we're going to look at them in the future. They had a partial fulfillment in Isaiah's day. But we today are not looking back. We're looking forward. And we know that these things are coming upon the world. There's a blessed thought here, and a precious thought that the Lord gave us. Isaiah did not appear in public again after the 15th year of Hezekiah. He wrote these, and then it's as if he disappeared off the scene. He separated himself. He knew what was coming. The Lord unveiled to him. He had given him through the Holy Spirit. He had given him a far-reaching insight into the counsels of God. And this man knew what was coming upon the nation Israel. So he separated himself from the nation Israel of that day because of their unbelief. Now, what do we do today? Isn't this what the Lord does through us? He separates us from this world of unbelief because we know what's going to come upon this world today. It's judgment. That's all that's coming, is judgment upon this world. And it will not be made any better than it is today. Wickedness and unbelief lived, and that's what is in our day today. Isaiah looked for the fulfillment of what he wrote. Now, isn't this what we do? We read this, and we look for the fulfillment of what, like in the book of Paul's Gospels, in the book of Revelation, and even this book. This is a type of what's coming in the world, to the world today. Today, we have, as it were, disappeared, just like Isaiah did. By faith, we've been raised up together and made to sit together in heavenly places. We're really not part of this world, are we? And we're looking forward to the fulfillment of the word, that the one thing that we long for is the coming of the Lord. And the Lord is coming, and the Lord separates us from this world that is already, as we know, being judged by God. It's begun already. We can see it everywhere. All right, the word burden, we're just going to take this. I don't know how many of you read this, but I don't think we'll read it through let's just read down to the fifth verse. The burden of Babylon, which Isaiah the son of Amos did see, lift ye up a banner upon the high mountain, exalt the voice unto them, shake the hand that they may go into the gates of the nobles. I have commanded my sanctified ones, I have also called my mighty ones for mine anger, even them that rejoice in my highness. The noise of a multitude in the mountains, like as of a great people, a tumultuous noise of the kingdoms of nations gathered together. The Lord of hosts mustereth the host of the battle. They come from a far country, from the end of heaven, even the Lord and the weapons of his indignation to destroy the whole land. We'll just go that far and then we'll read some more. There's so much in this chapter. And what it's looking forward to is a time when these armies come down, and we're going to show you some maps in a little bit. They come down, and one of the countries that God is going to use to bring and allow them to go through is the country of Iran. That country is a huge country, and I'll show you on the map after a while. It's connected with Russia. Russia is right north of Iran. And Iraq is to the west of Iran. These nations are going to come down. We're looking to the future now. They did in a partial fulfillment back then in Isaiah's day, but in fact he prophesied this before about 100 and some years before it even happened. So now he's prophesied to see. God enabled him through the Holy Spirit to look down really to the end of the 7 years, and that's what we have here. This is a burden of Babylon. Babylon is Greek word. Babel is Hebrew, and it means confusion. Remember in Genesis 11 when they tried to build a tower, the Tower of Babel? What did the Lord do to that? He destroyed it and scattered the tongues, didn't he? They tried to reach God, and God wouldn't let them. The word burden means a weighty thing or a solemn prophecy. And it's the verdict of God and his judicial sentence. And it's heavy, it's weighty, because God's wrath is in it. Now, these things are real. I want to say this tonight. We say many times, many Christians, and of course unbelievers, that they're going to live on and on and on, and this is never going to end what's today. But it is going to end. God's word is being fulfilled, and it's going to be fulfilled. So these things we all need to take seriously, especially those of us who are in the church. We'll be there. The first rank, of course, will be there first, and then the others. So it's heavy, because it's heavy burden because of the wrath of God. And in verse 2, he summons these armies to come, and it's an urgent summons, like it's time to do this now. It's urgent. So we see a threefold signal is given. They come upon the high mountain, and they lift up this banner. This is the first signal. And it's on a high mountain so that it can be seen afar off. Iran is the western part of Iran, the eastern part is in a valley. But the other part, the western part of Iran is mountainous. It's many, many mountains. And we just want to get the map here, and we can show you at a distance. This is the big country of Iran. This is the western part of it. See all the mountains? This is the eastern part. Here's Russia up here. Over here is Afghanistan. Over here is Iraq. Then you go from Iraq, you go into Jordan, and then Israel. See, they're going to come down like this, that northern army. And this is what he's talking about. It is very plain. And I like this map. That was a good one. So if you want to look at it later, you're welcome to it. All right, the first signal that's given is the banner that's going to be lifted up on this high mountain. Now, these are actual events that are going to come to pass. The second signal is this loud-sounding voice. It's going to call them. It's an urgent voice. Exalt a voice unto them. Then the third one is the shaking of the hand. This is to beckon with the hand to march. The time has come to march. So here Isaiah is predicting an event that is still future, and it is the overthrow of political and religious Babylon, which is fallen into confusion under Gentile world dominion. And we can see today the terrible confusion that this world is in, political as well as religious. I want to say we're including them both, because in the end time, religious Babylon, the false prophet is going to have his center there in Jerusalem. They want that city. And political Babylon is also included. The two legs of the Roman Empire are going to be there. The Northern Confederacy, the Southern Confederacy, all of these countries that are coming into the news today. Africa is very much mentioned throughout prophecy. And we can see today the different countries in Africa that are coming to the forefront, and the unrest that's in those countries. So all of this is leading up to the coming of the Lord. In Revelation 14 and the 8th verse, we have a summary of what will happen in Revelation 17 and 18. Let's read there. We won't read 17 and 18 of Revelation, but let's read Revelation 14 and the 8th verse. This is just an epitome of, or a summary of, Revelation 17 and 18. And there followed another angel, saying, Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. In other words, she has become the head of all nations. In Revelation 17 and 18, we read of a political and religious Babylon. Political Babylon is going to overthrow religious Babylon. Revelation 17, 16 tells us this. And then Revelation, the chapter 18, you'll have to get your Revelation notes out and study this, but this is combining the two Babylons in the 18th chapter of Revelation. And notice there in that 14:8 of Revelation, that she made all nations drink. And I noticed that when I was studying today. She made them do it. She had such power over these nations that they had to do it. And we see them doing it today. These nations are going to be made subject to religious Babylon. Praise the Lord. So in the third verse now, back in Isaiah 13, God says through Isaiah, I have commanded my sanctified ones, I have also called my mighty ones for mine anger, even them that rejoice in my highness. This is Jehovah here has summoned his sanctified ones. This is quite a statement here. They are consecrated or set apart for war. They're not inwardly sanctified. That's not what he's talking about. But they're designated to fulfill God's holy purpose. God has set them apart to do this work there and to be his instrument. And this is why he has set them apart for this purpose that he is going to use them for. Over in the little prophecy of Joel, we have much of this in these little minor prophets, called the minor prophets. Joel, Daniel, Hosea, and then Joel. Joel 3 and the 9th verse. So much in these prophetic books regarding this time. Joel 3:9, proclaim ye this among the Gentiles, prepare war. And this word prepare is hallow, the same word sanctify. God sanctifies these, sets them apart, and not, as we said, not inwardly, but outwardly, he sets them apart to fulfill his purposes. Prepare war, wake up the mighty men, let all the men of war draw near, let them come up. Beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, I am strong. Assemble yourselves and come, all ye heathen, and gather yourselves together round about. Thither cause thy mighty ones to come down, O Lord. That's going to be the time of judgment upon this earth. All right, in the fourth and fifth verses, this mighty army that's going to come is already coming down the mountains. The noise of a multitude in the mountains, we can just almost picture this. We see these beautiful big mountains there in Iran. But this huge army is going to come down like a great people. And they're going to make this tumultuous noise of these kingdoms and the nations that are gathered together. And notice, the Lord of hosts mustereth the host of the battle. He's in charge. Jehovah to Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts, he's the one. And I love this when we were studying all the divine titles of Jehovah. That to me was a precious study. Sabaoth means a host or host, and has special reference to warfare or service. And it also speaks, he's the controller of all created agencies, and he's ruler over all. I thank the Lord for that. He's ruler over all. We do not even rule ourselves. When we belong to him, he controls us and he rules us. He strengthens us. He has complete charge of us. So let's don't rebel, because we are rebelling against him if we do. Isaiah and Jeremiah use this title 60 or 70 times. Now remember what it means. It means a host or host, and has special reference to warfare or service. And this is what he's talking about. this warfare. Now let's go to Jeremiah 51. This is going to be quite a time on this old earth, and I believe we'll be able to look down from heaven and see it. Jeremiah 51 and verse 27. These huge, huge armies. Jeremiah 51:27. Set ye up a standard in the land. Blow the trumpet among the nations. Prepare, again that word prepare, is hallow the nations against her. Call together against her the kingdoms of Ariat, Mene, Ashkenaz. Appoint a captain or a marshal against her. Cause the horses to come up as the rough caterpillars. Now what does that make you think of? What do they have in the army today that looks like a caterpillar? Remember those, Glenn mentioned that the earth-moving equipment and those big tanks? See, this is what he's talking about here. These huge implements of war that are going to come down over the mountains of Iran. And so God's wrath is going to be executed upon the whole land. Notice they, in the fifth verse, they come from a far country, back in Isaiah 13. They come from a far country, all over the world, from the end of heaven. Even the Lord, the weapons of his indignation, to destroy the whole land. The whole land, this world empire of Babylon, is going to be destroyed. And God's going to preserve that little remnant through it all. Let's go to chapter 46 of Isaiah. We'll get into these more in detail when we get over here. I can't go through the word anymore and not just skim it, the top of it. I have to get down into the depths of it and find out, what does this mean? What's going on? Okay, chapter 46 and the 9th verse. Remember the former former things of old, for I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure, calling a ravenous bird from the east. This was Cyrus at that time. The man that executeth my counsel from a far country, and it's a Medo-Persia empire. Cyrus was the Persian empire, the head of it. Yea, I have spoken it. I will also bring it to pass. I have purposed it. I will also do it. I love that verse, don't you? Notice that. I have spoken it, I will bring it to pass, I have purposed it, I will also do it. So hearken unto me, ye stout-hearted, and this also is rendered, ye stiff-necked and stubborn, that are far from righteousness. I bring near my righteousness, this is Jesus Christ, it shall not be far off, and my salvation, there's Jesus again, shall not tarry. I will place salvation in Zion for Israel my glory. That's going to be a wonderful portion there when we get there. But that's what he's going to do. There's nothing that God has purposed that he is not going to fulfill. And I thank the Lord we can be on his side. I thank the Lord we are on his side. And we can say amen to everything that he's bringing to pass in this world today. And I don't want to be involved in anything. The word says, be not entangled with the affairs of this life. We're soldiers. We're from another country. We're ambassadors from another country. We don't belong here. And one of these days, we're going to go home. Thank the Lord. All right, verses 6, let's read down in this, down through verse 12. How ye for the day of the Lord, and I've underlined that because this is always looking to the future. The day of the Lord is not here yet. The day of the Lord is at hand. It shall come as a destruction from the Almighty. Therefore shall all hands be faint, and every man's heart shall melt, and they shall be afraid. Pangs and sorrows shall take hold on them. They shall be in pain as a woman that travaileth. They shall be amazed one at another. their faces shall be as flames. And I believe I'll just stop there before we go on. The 6 through 8 verses, we see here that it comes as a destruction, a devastating tempest from the Almighty, the most powerful. And looking this word Almighty up, it's Shaddai, S-H-A-D-D-A-I, Shaddai. And it means Almighty. This one, the Almighty, can do everything and anything and has the ability to carry out the divine purposes of God. This is Christ himself who is going to do this. All of those divine titles that are in the Word of God were embodied in Jesus Christ, all of which they met. So he is going to come. The day of the Lord is at hand. He'll come as the Almighty, the one who's the most powerful one. The hands hang down, or reads in the King James, all hands be faint. They'll hang down from despondency and helplessness. And the heart, the seat of life, melts. Now this is going to be a terrible war. The earth has not seen anything like this. It's going to be terrible. And I think we need to pray for people that they'll realize that it's coming. Are you ready for the coming of the Lord? Are we ready for the coming of the Lord? Let's read Jeremiah 50. This is coming. We can't stop it. No man is going to be able to stop this. The more man tries to make things right, the worse mess they make them. Jeremiah 50, verse 41. Behold, a people shall come from the north, and a great nation, and many kings shall be raised up from the coast of the earth. They shall hold the bow and the lance. They are cruel and will not show mercy. Their voice shall roar like the sea. They shall ride upon horses, every one put in array like a man to the battle against thee, O daughter of Babylon. The king of Babylon hath heard the report of them, and his hands waxed feeble. Anguish took hold of him, and pangs as of a woman in travail. And we won't read any more. We can just picture this. They know that this huge army is coming, this religious Babylon that's got its seat there in Jerusalem, because that's what Satan wants, that city. He wants that country because he knows that it belongs to God. But the Lord is going to come and take control. Their faces, here we read in Isaiah 13, their faces shall be as flames in the 8th verse. Their faces shall be as flames. They'll alternate between light and darkness. They'll be flushed with fear as the blood runs up and back in their body. Their faces will be flushed because they realize this huge army is coming, and they're in pain as a woman that travails. They'll bend over because they know what's coming. It'll be quite a time, isn't it? We don't have to be here, you know, and we won't be here. This earth is not going to be like it is today. Verse 9, behold, the day of the Lord cometh cruel, both with wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate. And he shall destroy the sinners thereof out of it. For the stars of heaven and the constellations thereof shall not give their light. The sun shall be darkened in his going forth, and the moon shall not cause her light to shine. This cruel one, it cometh, it'll be cruel both with wrath and fierce anger. It's going to be unsparingly just retribution that God pours upon the nations. They will be treated just like they treated others. Babylon was a very cruel empire. They treated others in a terrible way. In the 14th chapter and the 17th verse, gives us just a little thought about how they treated their captives. That made the world as a wilderness, and destroyed the cities thereof, that opened not the house of his prisoners. And we're going to read another scripture a little later about all of this. That's coming. Whatever man sows, he's going to reap. Whatever he sows. We see it everywhere today, don't we? Praise the Lord. When he speaks of the land in this ninth verse, it's the earth, the whole earth. Let's go to chapter 34 of Isaiah and verses 1 to 8. This book is full of what's coming. Chapter 34, and we're going to read the first 8 verses. The title of this chapter is The Day of Jehovah's Vengeance. You know, we see there's so many, like NATO, there's the European Union, there's all these different confederacies among the nations. Well, they're joining because God's putting them together. And it's going to agree, they're going to agree with a word here when they come, the final. Come near, ye nations, to hear, and hearken, ye people. Let the earth hear, and all that is therein. Are we in the earth? The world, and all things that come forth of it. For the indignation of the Lord is upon all nations. Does that include this one? Mm-hmm. And his fury, or his hot displeasure, upon all their armies. He hath utterly destroyed or consecrated them to destruction. He hath delivered them to the slaughter. Their slain also shall be cast out, and their stink shall come up out of their carcasses, and the mountains shall be melted with their blood. There'll be mudslides, in fact. The blood will be so heavy. And all the host of heaven, this is Satan and his host, shall be dissolved. And the heavens shall be rolled together as a scroll. He's not talking about God's throne. He's talking about the lower heaven. And all their hosts shall fall down. That's Satan when he's cast out of heaven. As the leaf falleth off from the vine, and as a falling fig from the fig tree. For my sword shall be bathed in heaven. Behold, it shall come down upon Idumea, this is Edom, speaks of the flesh, and upon the people of my curse, or my ban, they are devoted to judgment. The sword of the Lord is filled with blood. It's intoxicated. That word filled means it's intoxicated with blood. It is made fat with fatness, and with the blood of lambs and goats, with the fat of the kidneys of rams. For the Lord hath a sacrifice in Bozrah, and a great slaughter in the land of Idumea. And the unicorns, it speaks of the wild oxen, the unicorns, the bullocks, and the bulls mentioned in this verse speak of the leaders of the nations. And their land shall be soaked with blood, and their dust made fat with fatness. For it is the day of the Lord's vengeance, and the year of recompenses for the controversy of Zion. See, God has a reason for doing this. What is that reason? What have these nations done? Disobeyed the Lord? What else have they done? Rejected his son. This is the bottom, this is the one sin that God holds against mankind, is the rejection of his dear son. He gave a lot to this world. He gave the only one he had to die and become sin for us, for the world. And now he's taking vengeance on those who have not accepted the sacrifice of his dear son. Oh, thank the Lord. He is a righteous God. Praise the Lord. Let's read the 10th verse again in Isaiah 13. For the stars of heaven and the constellations thereof shall not give their light. The sun shall be darkened in its going forth, and the moon shall not cause her light to shine. How would we feel if we got up in the morning and the sun didn't shine and the sky was covered with darkness, and you'd go through that all day? Day after day after day. Now that's what's going to come. When Jesus was crucified on the cross and became the sin offering, there was darkness, we read in Matthew 27, over all the earth, because he became the sin offering. And God didn't want man to look upon his son when he became the sin offering. His son was precious to him, so he hid him from the face of man. So now, because they have not accepted his son, this darkness is going to fill the whole earth. The heavenly lights above the earth will go out. They'll not give their light. And it's a figure of anarchy or distress and revolutions of the kingdoms. Let's go over to Joel again. I'm glad we can judge ourselves now, aren't you? That we won't be down here. Joel 2 in the 10th verse. The earth shall quake before them, the heavens shall tremble, the sun and the moon shall be dark, and the stars shall withdraw their shining. We could read more, but this is all we want right now. Notice they're going to withdraw their shining. Even the stars that could give a little light are going to pull back as if in anarchy against the wickedness of the world. Then let's go over to Ezekiel, Joel 2:31. Yes. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord comes. All of Joel's full of it, of this. And of course, Revelation, we'll read that in just a minute. But let's go over to Ezekiel first, Ezekiel 32. This is why we need to pray for people that don't know the Lord. And ask them, do you know what's coming upon this earth? Are you ready for eternity? Ezekiel 32, verses 7 and 8. And when I shall put thee out, I will cover the heaven and make the stars thereof dark. I will cover the sun with a cloud, and the moon shall not give her light. All the bright lights of heaven will I make dark over thee, and set darkness upon thy land, saith the Lord God. We could read more, but we won't there. Now let's go over to Revelation, the 6th chapter. See, all this is foretold, was given to John. All these, what God gave these Old Testament prophets, is fulfilled here in the book of Revelation, is told John. Revelation 6 and the 12th verse. This is what we read a little bit in Joel. Revelation 6:12. And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. I think of this a lot. Man is so taken up with pleasure, and they think, and I thought about these cruises that so many retired people love to take. And when they're still down here, and they're on one of these cruises, and these islands begin to move, it's going to be quite a sight. The 15th verse, and the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, every free man, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and the rocks, fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. That's Christ. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? Aren't these scriptures descriptive, aren't they? All right, the constellations they hear that he speaks of in this verse is Orion, and Orion is called the giant. He's the most conspicuous of all of the constellations, and there are other little Orions, too. I'm not going to go into all of that. But all of these will not give their light. And then the 11th and the 12th verses. And I will punish the world for their evil, and the wicked for their iniquity. And I will cause the arrogancy of the proud to cease, and will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible. The proud here is Satan and his demon powers that are even today controlling this world. See, we're not of this world. Jesus said, ye are not of this world, even as I am not of this world. We cannot, we should not get involved in this world. We're not part of it. This evil system that Satan is pushing today. It's evil. It's deceitful. Oh, there's so much that's going on. It's gradually they're taking over the minds of children. They want all the children and all of the young adults coming up to fit into the program that Satan has already got planned out. And God's going to allow him to do this. This is why they're pushing the fact that everybody go to college. They want their minds programmed so that they will fit into this godless society that's coming. This is what he's doing today. And I pray the Lord opens our eyes to this. We're not of it. Praise the Lord. Well, the 12th verse, I will make a man more precious than fine gold, even a man than the golden wedge of Ophir. This 11th verse in the Hebrew, it reads, and I will visit evil upon the world or the earth, and upon sinners their guilt. Their guilt. Notice, and that's also their iniquity in that 11th verse. Man is going to be judged for because of himself, because of his rejection of Jesus Christ, for the life that he chose to live in while he was down here. For all the world is guilty before God. And if they don't accept Jesus Christ as their Savior and begin to walk with him, they're going to continue to carry that guilt. And if we don't obey him, God's going to hold us responsible for that. We say that's law. No, that's not law. That's love. We obey him because we love him. Praise the Lord. And the rest of this verse, I'll start reading it again. And I will visit evil upon the world or the earth, and upon sinners their guilt, and sink into silence the pomp of the proud. I like that. And the boasting of tyrants I threw to the ground. Isn't that a wonderful way that I sink into silence? Cruel ones in this chapter. The cruel shall be paid in their own coin. And I want to read this scripture in James. This will end our study tonight. There's so much in all of this, and you kind of have to include it all in one study. James, the second chapter and the 13th verse. It's a good one to end on tonight. James 2:13. For he shall have judgment without mercy that has showed no mercy, and mercy rejoiceth against judgment. What a verse is it? He'll have judgment without mercy, and this is what he's going to have upon these nations that he used to discipline Israel, but then he will have judgment without mercy on them because they showed no mercy to the nation Israel. When we know when Nebuchadnezzar went in there, they slew, many, many thousands of the people of Israel. They carried them away as captives. Some of those young men, they pulled away from their homes and took them to a foreign country that they knew nothing about. They were cruel, but God's going to avenge his wrath upon them. All right, praise the Lord. They're the armies, these armies of all these nations that God has set apart for his purposes, and then they'll be destroyed. Well, it's all of them, not only Egypt, all the world powers that are going to come against Israel, all the world powers. It's not inwardly sanctified, but just set apart for God's purpose at this particular time, which he did with Babylon, which he did with Medo-Persia. They were all set apart for God's purposes. All right.